The thing about room temp, you know, like when someone says, like, do you want your water like cold or room temp? Think about these two words together, the room and the temperature of the room. For example, right now I'm in the great state of Montana, home to Kevin Costner and the Dutton family.
Did not know this.
And last night, you don't know this, April?
No.
This is a bummer. Last night, you know, it's like, you know, what's the low last night? 12 degrees, 15 degrees outside. So you want the heater pumping. But like right now, here in this hotel room, I can't quite get the room temp right because it's cold outside, but it's sunny outside, and I just can't find, you know, like in my house, I know exactly how to work my thermometer at the right time of the day, in the morning, in the night, in the middle of the day. Like you've got to figure out. I think this is a part of life. You got to figure out room temp. Let's go. Oh, welcome everybody to another episode of Leadership Lean In. We're just leaning. We're leaning into the subject of leadership just to get a little bit better. We cannot promise perfection, but as always, we are trying to promise progress. This is a special March Madness edition. We are fresh off an L taken by the University of Arizona, located around the
Yikes.
Tucson area. Major L.
It's done
Also,
for me.
major L alert. Okay, April. Another L, big L. Virginia. We got a four seed and a two seed going down this day, guys.
Killed my bracket.
I would say it's chaos. Some other people would call it madness.
Madness.
It is March Madness. I hope that you are making it through. As of this morning, once the Virginia game was over, only 4% of people who filled out a bracket had a perfect bracket. Now, after this Arizona loss, I mean, come on, what do you think? Less 1%? Less.
Yeah, less. Wow.
Who's choosing a 15 to beat the 2? I mean, come on, this is a big
April. I
upset.
guess I did.
It's literally April.
Listen, guys,
Okay,
you got to go
April.
off the logo artwork. That's the way to do it.
That's my point. The only people who are doing well in their bracket currently are uneducated and uninterested. So,
Accurate for
all
me.
the artists are killing it. All the sports fans are taking L's. We are in the theme, though, because it is March Madness. We are talking about teams. By the way, before I jump in, I just got to say, if you are a pastor listening to this podcast, I know we got leaders from all spheres, all walks of life, all kinds of different industries listening to Leadership Lean In means the world to us. I just want to speak real quick. If you are a pastor, I want to invite you to Los Angeles. Tuesday, May 9th, at the Great Bel Air Presbyterian from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. That's right, people, we're shutting it down at 3 p.m. We've got Pastor Chris Hodges. We have Pastor Rich Wilkerson Jr. We got Jer Jones, Pastor Albert Tate, Pastor Julian Lowe from Oasis Church. We've got an incredible lineup, and we're talking church. We're talking pastoral leadership. We're talking from, well, to be approximate from about 9 to 3, we're talking that day about leadership. We'd love to have you join us in Los Angeles. How do you guys feel about this? April, how many pastor gatherings have you been to now?
I've been to one. Oh no, two. I went to two. We did one at the Reverie, and we did the one last year at Bel
Wow.
Air, and then this year at Bel Air again. Both were amazing. Last year's was off the wall, insane, amazing, so cool.
And did you didn't attend the Zoom one over COVID when we had
I did not.
a
No.
bunch of guys? That was a pretty good one. Nate, you've been to all of them.
Except for the Zoom one. I wasn't a part of the Zoom one.
You weren't on the Zoom one. You couldn't get in, or you're like, ah, oh, I've got, you know, I gotta sell some Pokemon cards.
I tried to get in, and it was too
Okay, see, that's
full.
what I that's what
Wow.
we you know, that was a big Zoom fiasco. Zoom kind of messed us up that day. But It was a great one. This is, guys, our seventh annual. I think it's going to be special.
Crazy. I do too.
The lineup is stacked. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's going to be phenomenal. So let's jump right in. I am joining my co-host. Is that what we're calling this? Is that what this relationship has come down to? joining my friends, Nate Dogg and April. Guys, I am in Kalispell, Montana.
What a name.
You know, I looked that up, actually. I was like, what's the time zone you're coming from exactly? I couldn't pronounce it when I read it.
Kalispell, that's right. So we've had a great time. I've been coming here. I've been friends with the Luscos for over a decade, 11 years of friendship. They are just the best. I think this might be my sixth or seventh time here. I love it here so, so much, and I've just had the best time. So we're doing this over the worldwide internet, and we're not in the stew, as the kids say, but we are making it happen today. You know what? This is what leaders do. Leaders solve problems.
That's right.
It's just a leadership thing. So let's jump right in. I want to talk today about this idea that leading is messy. Building teams is messy. And I think that we've got to shift our perspective, that we got to see it as a positive, not a negative. There's an old proverb, an ancient proverb that says, where there are no oxen, the trough is clean. So basically, to translate that is, if you don't have any people, you don't have any problems. But the sign of a good leader, leadership is influence, nothing more, nothing less. So the more people you're influencing, the more mess you're going to be around. You're going to, I think, probably just have a ton of messes. So if you're a leader here and you're like, I'm dealing with this problem and trying to help these people and this couple and this guy, that just means you've got a lot of influence, because to have a lot of influence means to help a lot of people that are going through hard times. And I think we have to be careful, because I feel like we live in this self-care era of leadership where everything is about me and mine and trying to take care of self. And listen, I'm preaching to the choir here. We all want to take care of ourselves. We want to be the healthiest version of ourselves. It goes without saying. But I don't think that we can bail out on the work just because, number one, it's hard, or because it's messy.
That's right.
You know, it's going to be taxing on your soul. It's going to be emotionally exhausting. That's why leaders have great habits, great rituals, great routines, great systems in their life, because you can't give away what you don't have. So you got to always be filling up. And so I think we're seeing so many leaders, you know, jump off and say, I it's too much. I'd rather just have a podcast. I'd rather just have a platform. I'd rather just write books, or, you know, this, that, or the other. I want to encourage every leader. If you're dealing with a ton of messes, can you see it as a sign of success? What am I doing wrong? What are you doing wrong? You got a lot of humans around you. And if it was clean, that means you got nobody. But to quote a little Biggie and Mason and Diddy here, but more people equals more problems. That's just a part of leadership. So I think a few thoughts for today. You need to have the emotional stability and ability to be able to address the issues on your team. A lot of people, you know, and by the way, whatever you tolerate, you're going to live with. So if you just don't address issues, you're going to develop a world of dysfunction. But you got to have the emotional intelligence. I think EQ. I was talking to Levi Lusco today. Tell me about the next books you're writing. He's writing a book to 10 and 11 year olds about emotional intelligence.
Wow, that's amazing.
Think about how many adults could have benefited off of content about emotional intelligence. No one gave them the tools and the resources on how to have emotional health. And so we know that every one of us has a soul. And what is soul? Soul is mind, will, and emotions. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. So leadership is about how do I get my mind right? Have a mental edge, a mental capacity, a mental sharpness, my my willingness. Some people just get so exhausted, like, I'm not willing to work that hard anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not willing to go to those meetings. I'm not willing to give that person my time, my mind, my will, and my emotions. You need a healthy soul to be a great leader. And I'm saying this because I'm watching it so left and right. I feel like I'm running into it now more than ever, of people just jumping off the leadership boat, leadership train, because they're a little bit taxed. I want to encourage everybody to just take a moment and go, you know what? I think we said this last podcast. I need some SDER. Sleep, mm-hmm. diet, That's exercise, right. rest. I need a glass of water and a good night's sleep. And I need to do my hobbies. I need to get my serotonin level up. I need to worry about my adrenal glands because I've got a big call on my life. I got a business to build. I got a team to lead. Yeah. I got stuff that's in my heart. And I don't want anyone to be too exhausted. Yeah. It's like when you see a leader that, like, they're trying to rally the team and they're crying. It's like, sometimes I'm like, I don't think that's inspiration. I think that's exhaustion.
Right.
And and so there is physical exhaustion. That is a part of life, physical exhaustion. The other part of leadership is soul exhaustion. Mm. Is your soul weary? Is your mind, your will, and your emotions depleted? You've got to find a way to fill that back up. You've got to make a priority because the team needs you and the people around you need you. And so you got to find ways to get that. And I think when it comes to teams, if you're emotionally strong and you're emotionally available and you're leading really well, that gives you the ability to catch the problems on the team. You know, what's going on with these people? What's going on with them? How's this going? If I'm not emotionally well, I run from problems. I run from issues. Mm-hmm. I put my head in the sand. I'm not well enough to deal with it. It's required of you to be good so that you can lead. You know, that's a big deal.
That's right.
And then when I'm well, I can catch the problems, and I can even... This is a great thought. Identify the influencers.
All right, leaners. Sorry to interrupt the progress. Again, we can't promise perfection, but we can promise progress, which reminds me of our sponsor for this episode, HelloFresh. And I don't know about you, but I am obsessed with cooking shows. I'm in Netflix, Chef's Table, MasterChef, all of it. And every time I get a HelloFresh box to my house, I feel like I'm a part of one of these cooking shows. I'm not kidding. The box gets in. I don't have to go through any hassle, any lines. It's almost like a Christmas present every time this thing shows up. I'm able to sit down. Maybe I'm not sitting down, okay? It'd be weird if we were sitting down and cooking. I'm standing up. I'm in my kitchen. I'm cooking. And I feel like I get to present my family with a chef-level a dish. I don't know how good it actually is because of my mistakes, but they give you everything you need to be the best chef you can in your own home. And so our family loves it. I enjoy it. I feel like, you know, I was going to use a Gordon Ramsay accent, but I definitely won't. So if you want to jump in and experience HelloFresh for yourself, go to HelloFresh.com/lean60 and use code lean60 for 60% off plus free shipping. That's go to HelloFresh.com/lean60. You get 60% off plus free shipping. You want to check it out. You're going to love it. All right, let's get back to leaning in.
Leadership on teams, when it comes to teams, leadership is rarely at the top and it's rarely at the bottom, but it is always in the middle. And so I've got to identify who are the influencers on the team. Who are the people that sway the vote? You look at anybody, you know, running a campaign, they're trying to snuggle up to the influencers of the city, of the state, the influencers of the industry. Why? Because they know that if they get them, they get a whole slew of people behind them. Leadership is not about you being a rock star. It's about you getting the right people on the team with you and getting the influence. But if you're not emotionally well, it's like I heard someone say recently, if you're a level 6 leader and you're not emotionally well, you'll want to attract a bunch of fours around you. Mm-hmm. But if you're a 7, a 10 leader, and you're well, you want to attract a bunch of 8s around you.
Really good.
That's great.
And so you gotta look at yourself. It's never, is it about the 8 or the 4? It's never about them. It's always about you. You attract secure, confident, healthy
so people. Good.
The more healthy that you become. So I think this is a big part of team building, getting emotionally strong, emotionally healthy. When I say this, what comes to your guys' mind?
Well, I was kind of wondering, I think it's so interesting. We started out saying, like, we're in a culture of very like self-care, and which is good. But I think that sometimes, like you said, a lot of times we focus more on ourselves than we focus on the people on our team. How do you find a balance between focusing on, you know, you staying healthy so that you can be healthy for the team? The difference between just keeping yourself healthy and getting obsessed with yourself.
Man, that is the
tension. Because I think that's a thing.
That is the tension. That what you're hitting on right there, that's the, you know, I always kind of go like, you got to fill up so you can pour out. But if you don't pour out, give, help, serve, you know, whatever you got to, whatever that is for you. If you're an administrator, it's about giving your best effort. You have to be in a good place to do that, to be at your best, to perform at your optimum level.
Yeah, I think too, it goes to motives. Like, it's, you're always going to be exhausted if the whole point of you working with a team is to serve you.
Yeah.
You're always going to find yourself, nothing's ever going to be enough. You're never going to be satisfied. But if you find fulfillment and satisfaction in serving and doing high level work, then taking care of yourself is part of that work.
So great.
You know, you don't rest because you're lazy. You rest because you're like, I can't wait to get back in the field, to get back going again.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, I just think it's such an interesting time where, you know, people throw out the word burnout. Or I saw someone say recently, you know, they were a leader and doing a lot, and they've got PTSD from leading. And for me, I want to be very sensitive and compassionate to these to people that are dealing with that. I think the reason why it is an alert and an alarm for leaders is because you cannot lead on empty. Because if you do, what will happen is, it's not just that it's going to cause a bunch of confusion for you. It's going to confuse a lot of other people around you. And a lot of other people that are banking on you and trusting you, looking to you, their life is never going to be the same, let alone yours. And so there's just so much riding on leaders because God gave you influence. You're an influencer. I mean, come on, you're not posting about, you know, athletic greens. I'm not saying you're an influencer that way. You're an you have influence. And I think this is probably one of the first leadership lean-ins that is a little bit of a reaction to go, hey, this is not the way it's supposed to be. You shouldn't be burnt out. That if you're leading and you're burnt out, you're living wrong, not leading wrong.
Right.
That's so good. That's right.
Your leading will never outpace your living. It's a lifestyle. And so, like you said, April, there's a tension there of what is for me and what is for others. That's why I let's just take this one big, massive principle and apply it. If you do not have one day off, off, like no producing, no activity as far as work goes. Oh, you can be active. I just listened to Craig Rochelle talk about he has an active day off. That's great. Be active. Sports, hobbies, learning stuff, going places, great. Be active. But you cannot produce one day. I do not touch my laptop. I do not extend. I don't do anything on my day off because I call it Christmas Day once a week.
Love that.
I love it.
I'm partying. I'm sleeping the most. I'm eating the most. I'm with my family the most. I'm laughing. I'm off. Leader, you're not going to be around if you burn the candle at both ends. So you got to be careful not to get too far down that road to where it's like, there's problems everywhere. I can't deal with them. You'll be short with people. You'll write off people. You just won't have the capacity to handle the issues that are in your wake because you got people that are counting on you, looking to you, need some love, need some guidance, need some wisdom, need some correction. And you just, it's not going to happen if you're not leading yourself well first. So I think great teams, I said this last week, great teams are a reflection of great leaders. And the team is never going to be great if the leader is not great. So the demand on you is not to be the know-it-all specialist that is so impressive and this prowess and intellect and charm. That's not what is required. To be a great leader is to be a healthy person and the best, healthiest version of yourself. If you do that, you're going to be able to address issues. You're going to be able to recruit the influential people that you need on your team. You're going to be able to hold people accountable. How about this one? You're going to be able to create synergy and morale. How good is morale? When the morale's good.
Oh, there's no burnout when there's morale's high.
Yeah.
There isn't. Everybody's happy, getting along, high five. And usually if the morale goes south, you got to look at yourself and the leader and going like, was I not engaged? Was I too tired? Did I tolerate things that I should have addressed? It's usually not the team's fault. It's not usually. It's always the leader's fault.
Right.
You're the keeper of the morale. And so you got to look back at your life and go, okay, how do I do it better? How do I get stronger? How do I get healthier? So I'm not saying anything to discourage anybody today. Come on, this is Leadership Lean In. We are a positive, positive university. We got John Gordon. You know, he's a part of our Leadership Lean. So we're positive.
Right.
I'm just wanting to do my best to insert and say, hey, it's the old saying, let's keep the main things the main things. Mm. Let's keep it simple. Let's go low. Let's be strong. Let's have health. Let's be obsessed with the right stuff. I get scared about anyone that doesn't have their cup full or the ability to go back and fill it up. Mm. You don't, you know, to me, it's like, you don't need Cabo. That's a lie. You don't need a sabbatical. You need to build the right systems in your life that will allow you to go for the long haul and be a leader that is around, that people can count on, that your team needs, that your world needs, that your home needs. We don't need you to be the smartest. We just need you to be the best, healthiest version of you. Does that make sense?
So good.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm just going to kind of go back to this because I feel like the conversation is there still, but it almost feels like burnout is like this. It's almost like a swear word in leadership. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we see leaders running away from burnout all the time. So I can't do that. I don't want to get burnt out. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get burnt out. And those are the leaders that get burnt out. It's like, how can you lead afraid? It's like that weird tension. It's like, I don't know. Maybe that's just something I've seen, but I don't want to live afraid of being burnt. I want to live like going forward and making strides.
Right. I think something that I have noticed in just being in a church, you know, we're in a church world, we're with volunteers, we're with staff, we're with students, and just kind of observing. And then also for my own experience, I think that I've kind of noticed that like people, sometimes it's easy to, I think people feel burnt out when they feel like they're not experiencing momentum. And I think that's just so interesting that I think that the first time I really experienced momentum in my life was being here, being part of the programs we do, going through those long stretches of like the holiday season where it's like things, there's potential to like if you don't do it right, you could be burnt out at the end of it. But those are the times when I felt the most momentum, because as a team, the morale is high. We're all focusing on taking care of each other and of ourselves. And there's something about momentum that like is the like antidote, I think, the antidote for burnout.
Right.
Totally. And it you know, I always just think like, we had a great time. Martin Smith, the great Martin Smith, was with us on Sunday. We were just talking about how life is not rocket science. You know, it's like the way that you treat people, the way that you live. I'm going to say it again. You guys are going to get tired of me hearing these four letters. S-D-E-R. Sleep, diet, exercise, rest. It's not rocket science, guys.
Truly.
It's just like, hey, are you sleeping? You going on walks? Or work whatever exercises for you. Are you resting? You got a day off? Are you putting good stuff in you so good stuff can come out of you? You have community. You have friends. It's not rocket science. And so I know you got a big world and you got a big life to lead and you got teams and you got all kinds of stuff going. I'm just here to encourage you to come alongside of you. Say you're not burnt out. You got to do everything in your power to build the right systems in place so you can soar and become the leader that you are supposed to be. Man, I don't know what it is about me being in Montana, but it's making me almost get preachy on the leadership leaning this week. I don't talk like this when I'm in the stew.
No.
I know. It feels good. Like a different version of leadership like this.
I'm a little fired up.
I like this energy. I like it.
It's cool. It's good.
Is episode 10 whatever? I'm kind of coming after people. There's an alarm I can hear in the background.
There is.
Yep. We're done with today's episode, but Lena, hear me. We want to see you stay in the story. We need you for the long haul.
That's right.
We don't want you around for a decade. We want you here for the rest of your life. Like, stay in the. Keep saying yes. Stop with all the no's. There's so many no's. I'm around so many no's. No, 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 no. Just so you guys know, to the best of my ability, as God is my witness, I'm going to do my best to stay in the story. To keep leading. To keep giving everything I got. Burnt out? I am not burnt out. I am excited.
That's right.
I've got vision, passion, purpose, dreams. Let's lead. We out.
Do you ever feel like you want to know more about the Bible, but that it's kind of hard to understand? Do you want to share your faith with your friends, but have a hard time figuring out how to do that? Do you want to learn how to connect the Bible to your real life? Well, then this is the show for you. My name is Rachel, and I'm your host. I've been a children's pastor for a long time, and one of my favorite things is helping kids learn how to understand the Bible. I think that sometimes people think that the Bible is just for adults, but God actually really wants kids to know about Him. So on this podcast, we're going to learn all about God's big story and how He shows Himself to us through the Bible. As we learn together what the stories in the Bible mean, we can learn how to live out our faith in our everyday life. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.